The tiny kids in grade 1 and grade 2 to the older kids in, you know, grade 5, grade 6, etc. And it's just astounding how just giving kids some attention, even if they're not your own, right? But just sitting down and giving them and talking it out with them, just inclines them towards you so quickly. Like, I would spend maybe 2 to 3 minutes with a child, right? And I would just laugh with them, have fun with them. And now all of a sudden I'm standing in the center talking with someone and a kid just comes up and hugs me. Like, you know, for like 10 seconds I'm just like shocked and I'm just staring at the kid. I hope the kid doesn't get nervous, right? I'm smiling at them, but I mean, I'm just blown away. And it's just something I felt that I thought I'd bring it up, you know, just even if a child isn't your own, you know, I just felt people sometimes are so involved within themselves, they, you know, think they're too big to look down and talk with the children. Do you know what the Prophet ﷺ used to do?
Oh, no.
The Prophet would become a child when he was with children. Just as children are playing around on the floor with, for example, with Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, the Prophet would be a camel and he would let Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhi salam ride him. From one of the Imams, I'm forgetting from where, I heard a hadith that there's so much you can learn from children. And one of the things that that stuck in my mind is that if you look at two children, they have a fight. They will get down into their arms and beating and beating and scratching, and you turn away the next moment you look, they're playing and laughing and, you know, just having fun. So the Imam said, this is how you should act with adults. So when you have your fights, you break up, you come back together again. Please recite the salawat.
Allahumma sallallahu.
And then the reason I bring this up is that I find that, you know, for example, the madrasa here has a lack of volunteers. It's unfortunate. But, you know, the principals, etc., are sometimes really forced to try and call every teacher in the morning, try and figure out how are they going to get all the classes filled out. Which is really sad when you think about it. Because the children are just amazing. Like, you know, I would look forward to going to the madrasa because I'd get time to spend, like, a chance to spend time with the kids. And I don't know if they learned something from me, but I learned a lot from them. So inshallah, perhaps, you know, some of us can give us more time towards the madrasa and get involved with them, inshallah. So the second topic is the youth. And children in general, when you're bringing them up, when you're interacting with the youth or a child and your intention is to pass on what you learned of your religion onto them so that, you know, they can grow. And obviously every father, mother wants the child to be on the straight path. One has to be humble about it, right? One should know where their limitations are and not go beyond that. Because sometimes what ends up happening is that you end up damaging the child for the future. Sometimes someone may have read a few books and have come up with their own understanding of it. That understanding may be a hujjat for you as the parent. But unless you're confirmed and certain about it, let's say by clarifying it with a scholar, it isn't right to pass that on to a child. Because the child in his initial stages is still developing. He's a small plant. And if you stunt him, even unintentionally, that damage will remain, if not forever, but it will continue for a long time. The next thing, so recite the salawat.
Allahumma salli Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
The next problem I found interacting with the kids sometimes is that parents, unfortunately, you feed your children rhetoric. So a child asks a question and is really seeking an answer. And instead of giving him an answer that is something that's rational, understandable, with which he can take and learn, you try and just shut them up. It's sad. Like, I do it as well. If my cousin's asking me too many questions, I just get tired and I just say something, but he shuts up. That is very, very damaging for a child. Because a doubt is an opportunity for growth. And if you stunt them there, it will remain on an ongoing basis. The effects of that, what happens sometimes... Okay, let's end that topic for now. Let's go to a different topic. which is about passing on culture to the children, which is an amazing thing. Like, you know, when I see here sometimes, like when you know, there's a father, he's doing matam, and then his child is standing there looking at his father, you know, doing matam, constantly looking at his father for approval, that's an amazing thing. And it's like, you know, that's an amazing thing to pass on culture and azadari to the child. But the problem I see sometimes is you're passing on the weapons. You're passing on azadari, which is a weapon, and a shield. Amongst the most powerful things that we as followers and shias of Imam Hussain have. But you don't teach them how to use it. I mean, I've seen, it's sad, but this is my experience of telling you, living, you know, in Canada, in Dubai, etc. I've seen children, I've seen youth who are out there reciting nohas and, you know, marsiyas with these beautiful voices and etc. And I look outside and I find them, they're listening to music, getting to fight, they're, you know, foul-mouthing each other. And then you realize, I mean, the parent managed to pass on this, you know, like the weapon onto them, but the parent never taught them how to use it properly. I guess, sort of, at this junction, I just mentioned something. Like, one thing I really love about my dad, like, I sometimes look back, right, and I think, and I realize my dad hardly ever used his words to teach me anything. Sometimes I think about it as a complaint. I'm like, why didn't he talk with me more about these issues? And then simultaneously, I think back, and you know what I realized? What my dad taught me was through his actions. When I look back, my dad, you know, he took on extra difficulties. For example, it could be as simple as you as a parent choosing not to go to the cinema. Let's say there's a very nice film that you want to watch. The child, you know, may have a desire to go to, but because you've set an example, it'll actually have an impact on the child when you tell him no. And the second thing which I found from my dad, which was really nice, is that he taught me, he didn't teach me what to think, but he did whenever I asked him questions, but he taught me how to think. And that is something I think which is very important, which as parents, you know, when you're looking into your child, instead of focusing on giving them content that, you know, that this is right, you know, this was the second Imam, this was this, you know, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that, which is helpful, fine. But it'll only take them this far. What happens when they reach a situation where you haven't told them, okay, how should I act in this situation? They'll be lost. Then it'll be peer pressure, it'll be like, you know, pressure from their friends, etc., which will guide them where they want to go. Those are important things you teach your children, but you need to teach them how to think. This way, no matter what the situation is, they can take the best action and move forward. Inshallah. Please recite another salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Another thing which I love about my dad is his humbleness when he says he doesn't know something. You know, there's a saying from Ali alayhi salam, I remember paraphrasing it, is that there is no shame in saying that you don't know something. And every time if I ask my dad a question, and when he says that I don't know, you have no idea how much love I feel for him at that point. Because, you know, he agreed to humble himself before his son. But he didn't teach me something which would be wrong, which would affect me negatively further on. Inshallah. Another salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Next. Again, because I didn't have too much time to prepare, unfortunately, like my preparation, no, sorry, let me rephrase. My preparation was bad, so my speech is very unstructured in point form. So the next point is that this mosque, the center, stop seeing this as a mosque. You know, it isn't a place that you come just once a week, maybe on Thursdays, Fridays, just do your ibadat and then you leave. No, it should be a community center. It should be where your kids want to go. You know, there should be facilities here whether you want, you know, for them to have fun, maybe play around, you know, table tennis, etc. Some people feel that that reduces the holiness of the center. But then if you look at all the other centers that have managed to implement these sort of facilities for their children, it's just astounding the results that you see. I mean, let me give you an example of, so because I'm new to Canada, I don't have exposure to too many centers. But if you look at, for example, Pickering, they have something called the Al Mahdi Youth Group over there. Okay, so one of the complaints is that, you know, oh, okay, we have limited resources, not enough space. That is a complaint which will always go on. You know, whatever you have, work with it. Inshallah, Allah will give you more. So Pickering, right, in terms of resources, if you look at it, if you've ever been there, you'll see it's not that big of a center. But if you look at the youth, if you've ever sat down with them, I am blown away. I am blown away. Like, the work that they do, you know, they're together. They go for paintballing, they'll go for, you know, maybe bowling, etc. All these activities. But within these activities, which are like, you know, fun activities, they have these, you know, older people there, which will use this as an opportunity to bring them to the right path. So it's like this. So this is a very nice example which Shabir uncle gave once. It's like if you have a person running, all right? And so you could, I suppose, jerk them to a stop and try and pull them in the other direction. But how effective would that be? He'll just pull himself back and keep running. A more effective way is to run with them and then slowly make a U-turn. Slowly, slowly change their angle and bring them in the straight direction. So going back to the Al-Mahdi youth group, so which was an experience was like, because of doing this, giving, you know, getting involved with the youth and bringing them on board, there's some amazing things I saw. Imagine this, okay? Now, which father wouldn't want a son like this? I saw, because of the work that they did, constantly being with the youth and interacting with them and gradually guiding them, I saw a 13-year-old boy, right? When I met him, I was blown away. I was envious of the position, the status that 13-year-old boy had. We were talking. And we're talking, and you know, I saw he's like really interested in religion and deen, etc. And while I'm talking with him, I'm like, okay, so, you know, do you like reading? He's like, yeah. I'm like, what book are you reading? 13, 14-year-old boy tells me he's reading the book Jamia Sadat. Jamia Sadat is a book on akhlaq, which was written maybe, you know, sometime back. But it's from, it is one of the most greatest book on akhlaq that have ever been written. And to see a 13-year-old boy, 14-year-old boy tell me he's reading this would blow your mind. And all of that, like that is an end product of the years of effort put in by the center, by the parent, you know, by the parents sending their children, by the other youth being involved and getting together. Initially, something like this may require your input, your help, you know, to get things arranged. Slowly as the youth begin to develop, they'll start taking things on their own. So for example, if you have the Jaffrey Community Center in Toronto again, like, you know, it's amazing, the stuff that the youth there organize for themselves, it's amazing. They'll have like career fairs and, you know, they'll have like speakers coming in, they'll have topics, you know, which are relevant to the students there, like high school, you know, issues and university issues, etc. Please recite another salawat. Now what I'm going to say, maybe, cause a bit of an offense if you take it the wrong way, which is why I'm going to give this sort of short elaboration at the beginning. I want you to ask, okay, this is something my dad told me once, which I'm going to say it out again because I'm sure it's true for you and you may relate to it more than I can because I do not have a childhood. But this is what my dad once told me. He said that in this world, typically people don't like to see other people going ahead except your own child. Is that the case? Do you want to see your child become more than what you achieved in your life, what you became? If that is the case, then you need to be ready to give them more than what you got. What do I mean by that? If I was to go on YouTube and search for a majlis that happened 50 years ago, it's going to sound the exact same way some that at times I hear the majlises now. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. No. What I'm saying is that you're not really giving your son or your daughter, a child, a chance to move forward. Again, looking back to my, okay, so again, once I've said this, I don't say you don't have those majalises. If that's the majalises you're attracted to, you wish to hear and learn from, that's well and good. But then simultaneously, you have to give the youth an alternative, other opportunities with which to teach them things that are relevant to their time. For example, do you know what Imam Ali alayhi salam has this amazing hadith? Imam Ali alayhi salam says, do not force your children to behave like you. Do not force your children to behave like you. I'm going to give 2 seconds for this to sink in. Do not force your children to behave like you. For surely, they have been created for a time which is different to yours. For surely they have been created for a time which is different to your time. Sometimes I feel parents don't realize this. The issues they face back in Pakistan, societal issues, peer pressure issues, etc., are very different from what their children are facing here. In principle, some of them may be the same, I'm not denying that. But in actuality, when you go into detail, when you look at it in detail, they're very different. They need a very, very different approach to handle them. And if you as parents don't realize this, then what will happen is you may, for example, as I gave the earlier example, you may manage to teach your child, you know, the most amazing way to recite nohas, the most astounding way to do matam. But then, it's, you again, like I said, you're giving them the sword, but you never really, you're not teaching them how to wield it. It's like the context is like, okay, let's say you're teaching them to wield it, but in the way that you were taught, which was helpful to you, but the enemies they face have different strategies. So they may be going high, thinking the enemy's going to go high, the enemy's just poke stabbing them straight in their stomach, for example. Sure. So they need to be given opportunities, you know, constantly throughout the year to grow. What I mean by this, it's one thing, okay, sometimes, you know, you get some very amazing speakers, like we have Maulana Hassan Mushtaba with us right now, who's addressing topics, you know, in English, in Urdu, for both the youth and for the adults. But once in a while is not enough. For a child, there are periods in his growth where if they are not given what they need at that point, their growth will be stunted forever. This is seen even in, for example, in science. Like if you look at the development of a child, you know, there are certain periods in their growth. For example, this was an experiment I think done with monkeys to test their eyesight development. If for a period, a window of about a month, their eyesight was blocked, like the back of their cells, they would not develop their sight forever. You know, that's it, that was the end. So similarly, in a child's growth, there are periods. So, you know, you might think, okay, you know, we give them this program, you know, let's say 10 days in a year, that should be good enough for them. But that's really not going to help them. It might help some children who are at that window of opportunity at that point in time, but it will not help those children who are not at that time. I mean, I say this because this is from personal experience. I remember when I look back, you know, at when as I was growing as a teenager, you know, in this sort of, in the 21st century right now, you know, there were these two periods in my life. Right? In one period, I was very young. So we had this summer camp that was organized. And we had this amazing speaker that came in, right? And he talked about various aspects of, you know, let's say spirituality or even you know, general topics of Islam, you know, tafakkur, thinking, contemplating. And he did this like simple exercise, you know, this is what he did. He said, like, everyone sit in a corner for 2 minutes and be silent. Close your eyes, be silent. And think about something. And he used that opportunity to introduce us to the topic of contemplation, meditation, right? Which is, you know, contemplation is something that is there in Islam. I was very young, I didn't realize it at that point in time. A few years later down the road, I have an issue, right? And I remember, oh wait, you know, we did that and I found it to be really interesting. Let me try that again. And that contemplation sparked a growth in me. And then I find that hadith from Imam Sadiq that an hour of contemplation is better than 70 years of worship. I would never have got that until I'd had that center and the people involved in organizing these sort of activities and these camps. Inshallah, because my time is up, I will quickly just end it off. Now, what the main message of this is not to the association or the people behind the scenes or the administration, no. My main message is to you as parents. Because I've met people here who are very dedicated to this task and who really want to help the children. They're organized, trying to push for summer camps, etc., 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 trying to get good speakers. But oftentimes they face difficulties for various reasons. And you know what the fact of the matter is? If you look at any organization, if they get pressure from the audience, they will cave in. It doesn't matter whether the owner, the person running the show, the, you know, the director, scriptwriter agrees with it or not. They will cave in. A classic example is Pakistani television. In Muharram, because no one wants to watch music, they'll cave in, they'll give you majalises. In other times, if someone wants music, they'll give them music. But this is purely a result of the audience demanding something. So you as parents should not accept mediocrity when it comes to your children. You just should not accept it. It is unacceptable. You need to push and demand whoever is in the administration. It doesn't matter that you want, you know, activities which are beneficial for your parents. And inshallah, finally, the last point is that when someone is actually carrying out these activities and helping, when there was nothing in place, is involving themselves to get something started, don't criticize them as an individual. If you have a criticism, you look at what they're doing, you have suggestions, you give it to them, you get involved in improving them. I will end this off just with a short story which I once heard. A painter once made this picture and he put it outside for everyone to see. He got constant criticisms. People came to him, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad. Finally, he got so tired, he left it. He came, he put up a blank canvas and he's like, fine, here's paint, here's a canvas. Someone's, you know, you guys have so many good ideas, you come and paint it. He goes away, he comes back, it's still blank. So this is what I, you know, what happens in our society sometimes. Inshallah. Please recite a salawat. And I apologize for taking extra time.